Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Amen and amen. Wow, it's so good. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord because, you know, this is where we get encouraged. This is where we get filled once again. And I know for me in the past months, there's been just the spirit of disappointment that's just really captivated my heart, and it's so hard to even worship. But God has reminded me, I am here. Let me carry that burden, let me carry that disappointment, and let me restore that joy. And God has really released me from that. And today what I'm sharing is, you know, in the heart of discipleship, because that's what we've been talking about. Now this theme of discipleship, it actually applies to all of us here, no matter the age, gender, or how long you have been a believer for. If you're following Jesus, then you are a disciple. Church, let's say I'm a disciple. It says here, I was reading this book for 15 years. I read it when I was a teenager, and I look back again today and I'm like, wow, this book is so relatable. The author is Krish Kandia, and he said in his book, Disciples, we belong to the same world-changing movement the disciples were a part of. We belong to the same world-changing movement that disciples were a part of. So if you've read the story of Jesus and his disciples in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you will see how they go from town to town, and they encountered lives, and they performed all these miracles, and we saw the power of Jesus. And it didn't stop there, because we move on to Acts, we see more things happen, more of God's Spirit moving in these cities and surrounding nations. Because it says in John 14, Jesus said in himself in John 14, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. We are part of a world-changing movement. And oftentimes, church, Christianity, our faith has been watered down into just a service on a Sunday. But Jesus, when he called us to be the church, it was never in his heart to just be a service on a Sunday. We are meant to change lives. We are meant to transform the world around us, but we are first needed to be transformed ourselves. Now, once we say yes to Jesus, once we begin to follow him, once we become his disciples, Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus has all the authority, and he's called us and sent us to be disciples and to disciple others. Church, let's say it again. I am a disciple of Jesus. And being a disciple means being transformed. Discipleship leads to transformation of us and of the world around us. Real transformation is not made up. It's not forced or quick. Unfortunately, it's not. We actually have to do this lifelong journey. It is a lifelong journey. We can't just change overnight. Pastor Son shared last week the heart of discipleship. She shared that our ability to follow Jesus is based upon our revelation of who Jesus is. So let's ask ourselves today, who is Jesus in my life? When we discover who Jesus is, we see how he has changed the lives of people that he encountered. It's just the norm. When you encounter Jesus, you are just changed. And if you're carrying Jesus in your heart and you're following him, are the people around you being transformed as well? Do they see Jesus in us? Do the people at the supermarket or even when driving, do they see Jesus in us? I remember just a few weeks ago, someone beeped at me on the road while I was on my right of lane. And I'm like, I pulled my window down. I said, bro, why are you beeping at me? And he was like full on yelling and screaming. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to walk off. And I'm like, Lord, I should have just drove off. I should have just let it go. I am so sorry. So in that moment, I asked the Lord for forgiveness. But, you know, my point in saying that is Jesus needs to be seen in us wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we do. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Now, it's just a great reminder for us. And I love this topic of discipleship because it applies to everyone. It is part of life from the youngest to the oldest. You know, we had life groups on Wednesday and we were talking about discipleship. And Sez was sharing that, you know, she starts, her and Hayden would start discipling little Reuben, you know, with singing, with just stories. And it starts from there. We start from the youngest. And even up to now, I'm sure, like, at your old age, you're still getting discipled. You're still growing in the faith because it doesn't stop there. God does not stop revealing himself. There's always something new every day, every moment of our lives. And it's so beautiful. Today's passage is actually in Acts 2. We're going to see how discipleship has impacted the community of believers, and that's why they have become the world changers. So I'm just going to title today's message, World Changers, because that's who we are. Amen. But before we do, I'm just going to pray quickly. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So beautiful, church. When we were worshiping, the door suddenly opened, and I felt like that's God saying, thank you for opening the door to me again, opening the door for me to move again in your life, in your house. And thank you, oh Lord, that you are here. Thank you for your presence. And I pray, Lord, as we hear your word, as we discover once again, Lord, what it means to be your disciple, I pray that this will encourage us, God, to seek you more than ever before, to not grow cold in our faith, but to be burning for you, to hunger for you, hunger again for you, and to seek your face once again, to seek your voice, and to be led by your spirit once again. So thank you for your presence. Jesus, we worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's read together Acts 2, 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Just a little background to this passage that we read. This was after the visit of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come upon to the disciples and the followers of Jesus. This was after the Pentecost. And hello, kids. And they started speaking in tongues and they started proclaiming Jesus. And people said, oh, they're probably drunk this afternoon. But they said, no. Peter stood up in boldness saying, no, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus has prophesied. And so after that, they started preaching, and then the hearers felt in their heart. It says here in verse 37 in chapter 2, they heard this and were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brother, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So if you are saved today, just know that God himself has called you to himself. How beautiful and how wonderful it is that the creator of the heavens and the earth has personally called you, called me, called all of us here to belong to him. We don't belong to anyone else. We don't belong to just a church building. We belong to the mighty God. And let that sink in. Let that be a reminder for you that when you feel lost, when you lose your identity, when you feel like you're just doing things in routine, just remember, the God of the creators of the heavens and the earth has called me to become his own. How blessed. Praise Jesus. Let's praise God here. Praise you, Jesus. And so then the disciples performed all these miracles. And so the church grew. And that's when the church began. This is the picture of the church. This, I believe, is what Jesus has in mind when he thought of the church. This is it. And it's so beautiful. Levi and I were talking about this a few weeks ago. And I'm like, oh, I think God has something here. And this spoke to me so boldly. And when Pastor Son asked me to preach, it's like, okay, what am I going to preach about? And it's about discipleship. And God led me to this revelation. So there's just a few things that I found in this passage. And if you just read along with me, it's so beautiful. So in Acts 2:42, we start with this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And I found in here that one mark of a disciple is to be devoted. So devotion is number one. A mark of a disciple is your devotion to God and to his church. I'm not just talking about us as Numa Church, but the Big C Church. You have to be a part of a community of believers to grow. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In Amplified, it says, they were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to the fellowship, to eating meals together and to prayers. Devoted means to continue steadfastly, persevere and not faint, to be constant. And church, we need to be faithful to the Word of God. If you're not sure about anything, go to the Word. Your devotion to Him, your one-on-one with God, you're in your secret place, that has to be your priority as His disciple. And not only that, we need to be devoted to one another. Tell the person next to you, I love you and I love seeing you here. I love doing life with you. You know, it's so beautiful what we have here at Numa West. We have life groups. I love life groups. I love getting together on Wednesdays or maybe on a Saturday. I know my parents' life group, it's on a Friday night. It's so beautiful. You get together, you talk, you eat lots of food. We share food together. I love that. And when you do catch-ups, we do our one-on-ones with your mentor or when we hang out. I know we had birthdays and we invite people to come along. We do life together. We're not meant to do this journey on our own. So we see it in the Bible. Jesus, he traveled with his disciples. They were always together. You know what I love about what we do here? We have this ladies' lounge. I think Christina started this. It's our group chat for the women of the West. If you're not part of that group chat, please speak to Christine and she'll add you in, because it brings us together, whether it's for dinner or going on a play or hiking. I think someone invited us for hiking this week, or even just to make the most diverse recipe book. There is a community for us to be together. It's not just, you know, I know it's important to talk about the Bible, but we talk about each other, we talk about lives, what we do, catch up. It's fun. And I know there are things in our lives that are difficult as well. That's why we have each other. We carry one another. And it's so beautiful because Jesus never meant for us to be all alone. And as what Pastor Beck was sharing, we have a prayer group. It says here as well, be devoted in the breaking of bread and the prayers. Our prayer meetings on Wednesday nights, it's not limited to that. We have prayers every morning before the service. We have our prayer team up here. It's so important because this is for our prayer requests. We also have a group chat for prayer requests and praise reports. Please, if you're not a part of that, ask Pastor Beck and George so they can add you in, because it's so important to give in your prayer requests. And don't think that it's just a message that you're sending. There is a community of people here, right here and outside, that are praying for you, that are praying for you. And how beautiful is it to know that someone is praying for me right? You're not alone. We are not alone. Tell the person next to you, you're not alone. We also have our alpha group for our new believers with Jen and the team, and our leadership team here who are available for catch-ups, for training or teaching. Please, this is, I feel like I'm a broken record for saying this, but we are not alone. Let us be devoted to one another. We have all these things in place, but they won't make an impact if we are not devoted to God and to one another. It begins with our devotion to God. It begins with being devoted to persevere, even in the hard times, the good times, when it's storming, or when you just don't feel like it, and we keep hearing it again and again because we're in that season when it's, you know, it's like cold and you just want to curl up in bed, and sometimes it affects our faith. You know, seasons can affect our faith, and it dampens us, and it just makes us feel lazy. But persevere, yeah. Persevere, persevere, because it is all worth it. This means that even if we don't want to, we're tired, disappointed, upset, or just feeling spiritually drained, let's persevere. Yeah. One, out of our devotion to God will overflow our love for one another. It can't be one or the other. You can't love God and not like people. You can't love God and not like people. And I'm talking to myself. I'm an introvert and it's hard, but I've made it my promise to God when Levi and I and our family went away middle of the year, that one of my challenge for myself is to really go out there, put myself out there, and just catch up with as many people as I can, within my limits, of course. I don't want to be too tired. But yes, let's go out there, be devoted to one another. Go reach out to people. You will be surprised at how many will say yes. I know planning can be tricky with our schedule, when our schedule is full, but when we are intentional, scheduling becomes easy. As we enter the second half of 2025, let's grow in our discipleship through devotion. Let's persevere in our relationship with God and with each other. Now in verse 43, it says here, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." And awe came upon every soul. Another word for awe is fear. Another mark of a disciple is being in awe of God's power. God is a miracle-working God. Let's not forget that God is a miracle-working God. In King James Version, it does use the word fear. And in Greek, it says phobos, which is the same word used for the phrase fear of the Lord. It means reverence and respect and honor. And I love that the songs that we sang today is really giving honor to our God. You know, this word fear or phobos, the first time it appeared in the New Testament was in Matthew 14:26, when Jesus was walking on water. The disciples were afraid. But guess what? Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." In Matthew 28:8, when the women encountered the angel and were told that Jesus is resurrected, when they tried to visit Jesus after he was buried, and they saw the angel, they feared. But you know what it says there as well? They were filled with joy. So can you see the picture here? It's a different kind of fear. Yeah. This is not the fear that's making us scared, but this is a different kind of fear. Mark 4:41, when Jesus calmed the storm, the disciples feared, but they were no longer afraid of the storm. In Luke 5:26, when Jesus healed a paralyzed man, fear came upon the people who were there, but they were amazed and they were left praising God. In Luke 7:16, when Jesus raised a widow's son, fear came upon the people, but they glorified God. And the news about Jesus performing these miracles spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Miracles are normal. And I know we have changed the way we do church this season, but this should not change the way we see God. God is still performing miracles today. If he performed miracles yesterday or in the books, in the stories in the Bible, he can perform miracles today, and he will continue to do these wonderful things. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did signs and wonders then, he will do signs and wonders today. We just need to believe. We need to carry that awe and reverence and fear of the Lord. Our transformation is a miracle in itself, but let us not limit God. Do not limit Him. Believe in healing once again. Believe in signs and wonders. Doubt creeps in because we see miracles through the hands of man rather than the power of the Holy Spirit. I know of horror stories where people misuse their authority or their position and even fake these scenarios, do fake healings and all that. But church, don't let them harden your heart. Do not grieve the Spirit. That's the work of man, but you would know the work of the Spirit because it is real, and you will feel that conviction. I love that we're just dancing once again. We're raising our hands and we're giving time to worship God in the Spirit because you just know that it's not forced. It is from the Spirit. And when you are just being touched by the Spirit, you know, as it says in Acts, it breaks your heart because that's the flesh breaking and that's you ready to receive a fresh touch from heaven once again. It says here, Isaiah 55:10-11, for as rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. Church, let me ask you, what did God say to you? What are the revelations that God has spoken to you, or maybe these prophetic words that have laid dormant in your life because of disappointment, because of doubt, or even contempt, because, you know, you're just so tired of waiting and tired of just the failure of man and failure of these things happening. Let's just take a moment and close our eyes and just offer it at the altar and say, God, I give you my disappointments. I have been holding on to disappointment because I felt like a lot of the prophetic people in our church have left, and I'm just being vulnerable, and it's really broken my spirit in a sense that I felt, and in a sense, I put a cap on my place. Like, Lord, I don't know how to move in your spirit anymore. And today when I saw that we were waving flags, not that it's all about that, but it is just freedom once again, that freedom to move in His presence is still here. I was so overjoyed. Let's lay it all at the altar. Maybe you've been praying for something and you haven't really received that answer to your prayer. Just lay it at His feet. Lay it at His feet. And open the door of your heart for the Holy Spirit to move once again, for a fresh move of the Spirit, for that fresh wind to blow away the past, to blow away all these things of the past that are still clinging in closely, and a fresh anointing to fill you once again. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome your move. We welcome your touch once again. Breathe on us fresh fire in Jesus' name, fresh fire. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. God still moves. God is still doing miracles, and God is still using His disciples to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And who are the disciples? We are. We are the disciples today. Matthew, Mark, all the disciples, they've done their part. Now it is our part to be the world changers. And it says here in Luke 9:1-2, and He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons, cure diseases, and He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Church, this is the charge of Jesus over our lives as well. Our God is the maker of the entire universe. God created out of nothing. When we create, we still need resources. And I have been playing this video game with my boys called Minecraft, and it's actually pretty addicting. It's so fun because you get to build whatever you want. And I know in that game, you have to collect resources to build. Otherwise, you can't do anything. But God, He did not need anything or anyone to create the entire world and entire cosmos. So let's meditate once again on God's transcendence or otherness. He's just so different. He's not like us. I know God is personal, but it doesn't change who God is. It says here from the book I was reading from Beth Felker Jones, God is God and we are not. God does not need creation in order to be who God is. God creates not because he needs us, but because God wants us. One thing that's lacking from the modern church is the fear of the Lord. And it's not about being scared of him, being scared of what he can do, but it's that awe and reverence and honor that, God, I am so messy, I am so sinful, but you said in your word, you call me to yourself, so thank you. And this alone should convict us and move us to be transformed, to seek his face and say, I don't want to live my old life. You have given me this gift of salvation and I don't want to take this lightly. Unfortunately, the church, the modern church has become, what can God do for me? What can I get out of my relationship with God? Does he line up with my beliefs, with my political views, with my plans? Krish from the book again, he says, we need to repent, change our perspective from looking for what we can get for ourselves to bowing our knee in submission and giving King Jesus the honor. Giving King Jesus the honor. Watch what God does when we surrender our plans, disappointment, doubts, contempt towards the supernatural. Imagine our transformation. Watch how our faith rises. There's this song, I'm More Than Able, and this line gets me all the time. Can you imagine with all of the faith in the room what the Lord can do? Can you imagine with all the faith in the room what the Lord can do? Just imagine the healings. Imagine the transformation of lives when you speak to someone when you're just walking along the street and you lay your hands on them. Just imagine what the Lord can do when we let go of that doubt, when we let go of that contempt and say, God, use me as your vessel. I want to show Jesus to the world. Just imagine what God can do in your family when things are not going right. You're always beefing with one another. Imagine what the Lord can do. Imagine when you're just so disappointed and you're just drying out. Imagine what the Lord can do when you ask him, Lord, I want to experience you in my secret place. Fresh touch of heaven. Reveal something new to me. Imagine with all the faith in the room what the Lord can do. Let's not limit God. Let's be in awe once again of who he is. Let us give him the reverence that he deserves because he is not like us. He is our creator. He is the Lord of lords and he is the God of all gods. There is no one like him. Amen. Jesus, we worship you and no one else, God. Renew our minds. Let us line up again. Line up our hearts and minds to who you are. Thank you, Jesus. And in verse 44 and 45 of this passage, I'm almost done, I promise. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Generosity. A disciple is generous. And I'm just referring to finances. When we carry the heart of God, it's just natural to be giving. It's so natural. And I love that Pastor Beck was sharing 2 Corinthians because I actually wrote it down here. And I love that she stopped right where she stopped because I was going to read the entire passage because we hear all the time, God loves a cheerful giver. But if we read on, it says here, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. God is the source of every blessing, and we hear it time and time again that we are blessed to be a blessing, and so should we. The early church had all things in common and shared resources as any had need. Church, we are called, as I said before, to be devoted to one another. The more we do life with each other, the more we realize that, okay, this person needs help. I'm going to be there for them. Just wow. Being a disciple is not about what I can get, but what I can give, what I can contribute to the kingdom. I know Chloe from Kids Church would always bring me a little gift just to say thank you, or just because she wants to. And Lila and Indy, I know they're not here, but they always come early with Mom to set up the Kids Church room. It's so great. They're not waiting for a prize. They just want to do it because they want to help. And I saw Jeremy and Liz helping out with setting up and packing up even before they joined team. They're doing it because of their love, and they just want to. And, you know, it's not limited to what we do here at church. It's so much more outside the four walls of our building. When Jane and the team do outreach, when we visit the sick, when we give a helping hand to someone who's moving, or when we become a crying shoulder to someone who is struggling, when we give to others in need, when we make ourselves available to be generous, our church thrives. Our community thrives. Church, let this be a challenge this week. Why don't you text or call someone? Hey, I want to catch up. Do you need help with anything? Just imagine what it can do for that person, for that family. For all you know, they've been struggling and they've been praying, and you become that answered prayer. How blessed it is to be an answered prayer to someone. Let's be that person this week. Let's be an answered prayer for someone this week. Let's be generous. And lastly, if I could invite the band, it says here in 46 and 47, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Church, let's keep going with joy. With joy. We don't have to worry about the numbers, because the Lord will add day by day who are being saved. That's His job. But our job is to be devoted. Our job is to be in awe of Him. Our job is to be generous. Our job is to be full of joy. And then watch the world see that the church is not what the media shows the world the church is. It is who Jesus says it is. We are those people. We are world changers. Tell this to yourself. I am a world changer. I know. I've heard this story of a woman who was notorious with her coffee order. She would give the service a hard time. And I would laugh. But then I find out that this woman actually attends church. And it broke my heart. Church, let's not just attend on a Sunday. Let us be transformed. Let us be disciples known for our devotion, our awe and fear of the Lord, our generosity and joy, and then become the world changers that God called us to be. Let us be transformed and transform the world around us. The world needs it badly. We hear of stories happening in the news, and I want to turn it off. I want to block it off because it breaks my heart. But it's not the time to shut down. It's time to move forward. It's time to really focus on that assignment. Focus on that call of Jesus. You know, before Acts 42:42 happened, as I shared before, they had that fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. They were cut to the heart, and that's the Holy Spirit. He just gives you that conviction. And the people were saying, what should we do? Maybe some of us are asking today, what should I do? What should I do? Well, firstly is repent. It starts with us humbling our hearts. Let's just close our eyes for a moment and repent. Maybe because we've grown cold. And that's not so much to condemn yourself, but to really refocus and just refocus and change our perspective once again to what it means to be a disciple. What it means to be the church of Jesus. What it means to be a disciple. What it means to love Jesus. What it means to follow Him and believe in Him. God, we repent of this wrong thinking. Would you line up our hearts and minds to your word, to your revelation? I know the Holy Spirit is here and He's revealing new things, fresh things to you. And if you haven't received it yet, now is the time. You can raise your hand. You can cry out to Him. And He's more than willing to reveal Himself. And I long for this, for us as a church. It begins with our hunger for God, for His presence. For without the move of His Spirit, we are simply moving in the flesh. Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's seek to hear His voice again. Let's not do church like a Sunday in, Sunday out. Let it be a place of transformation from Monday to Sunday. Our devotion at home with ourselves, with our families, let that be a place of transformation. Let's be within whispering distance to know His heart, His plans, His next steps. God showed me this. I don't want a stale bread. I want a fresh manna from heaven daily. God makes all things new. His revelations are endless. Let's stand in this place. And we're going to pray. We're just going to pray in this moment.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.